This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yo, third hour here on the show. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney, Football Friday, but we squeezed in some hoops. The deadline, free agency. We got about an hour or so, and then it's just going to jump, and it's going to get nuts, hopefully. And Teague and I have to get into a few items here, which we will, and we'll do it from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. You know, it is my hope that every sports fan, although this isn't realistic, it is my hope that every sports fan, for at least one team that they root for, gets to enjoy the path, a similar path, like Warrior fans have been treated to. Now, it's obviously, it's come thumping and thudding down, you know, first with Kevin Durant rupturing his Achilles, and obviously Klay Thompson's knee exploding and Steph hurting his hand, and now Klay Thompson's ruptured Achilles and he's out for the season. He's going to miss 2 straight years. Suddenly next year when Klay comes back, not this year, next year when Klay's back, Steph is, you know, 33, he's year 13. The odometer's starting to get to that point where you have to worry, especially with somebody with gimpy ankles. But you look at the Warrior fans, and this conversation feeds into what their owners are willing to do. By going out there, you know, making the trade, getting Kelly Oubre, who's a good player. I think people sleeping on him a bit. He's only 25 years old, so he's good. He's a good player. He had a good year with the Suns. I like him. He's obviously not Klay. Nobody is. But to be so blessed to see a dynasty, all right, how many fans actually get to see a dynasty, like a true dynasty?
Very few.
I would say less than 10%.
Yeah. I mean, they're lucky if you win a championship.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
And or consistently in the hunt for one.
Correct. Spurs fans have enjoyed that. They know what a dynasty is all about. Yankee fans know. With the championships in 96, 98, 99, 2000, you could stretch back certainly to the 50s, 60s, 70s. Before that, you know, the A's won 3 and some other teams clearly. But, yeah, and of course, the Bulls know what that is. But it's very rare to not only be dynastic, but to also then change the template for the entire league.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when something out of your control happens, you have the owners. Listen, they could say, and everybody would understand, you know what? All right, we're just going to go into the season with Steph as our guy and Draymond, and we'll hope that Wiseman's ready and Looney's better and Pascal's fine and Parker, who am I leaving out?
Wiggins. Yep.
And just, you know, kind of throw some darts and maybe we'll win, you know, 42, 43 games and we'll give it a shot. We'll see what happens. No, their tax bill just hiked up like $50 million. Warrior fans are so lucky to have the owners that they have.
Yeah, you're right, because they're not thinking about the monetary outpouring. It's more about, you know, how do we put a product that our fans are going to want to watch and be, you know, excited to see, and hopefully come in, you know, in time. I don't think they should do it as quickly as they're, you know, saying they're going to do this. You know, get a bunch of people in the arena and see them play. So, I mean, I would love for if I was a fan of the Warriors, I would love this. But they're getting a lot of criticism for this, BT, and you can understand why. But at the same time, it's I don't want to say it's funny money because it's not. I mean, it's real money.
Well, by the way, define the criticism for those who don't know really going on.
So the criticism is with the pandemic going on and with how many people are out of work and things of that nature. Like the economy is in the tank in a lot of places, and to be flippantly, at least according to some, spending to make your team better, you are kind of flying in the face of reality, right? And while that technically might be true, I think inside of the bubble that is the NBA, it's funny money. You know what I mean? It's they're going to make that money anyways, and if they're willing to spend it and give it back to the league, who then distributes to the other teams, I think it creates more balance in a sense, but not necessarily, because they're putting a better product on the court, and that's what fans want. That's what we want to see. And at the end of the day, their job is to get fans to want to watch their product.
Yep.
And if spending money does that, then you got to spend the money.
Teak, any criticism is derived from jealousy.
Yeah.
And those fans just need to relax here, because I could actually spin this and say, well, yeah, even if you believe that it looks bad in the wake of a pandemic to go out and spend money, and perceptually, this isn't, you know, mama going out and getting a $400 pair of shoes at the expense of kids going to school.
That's right.
Or daddy getting a brand new driver for $700 when he doesn't need it. This is a franchise that's going to make money, and the league's going to continue to make money. So there's no real risk, first of all. And when you talk about, you know, spending in a flippant manner during a pandemic or a reckless manner, the reason why people would be worried about that is because there's no guarantee that the money's going to keep coming in. In the NBA, they're going to make money. I could also spin it and say, by getting Oubre and maybe doing something else, that they are obviously increasing their odds of being good, which then, if you're ever allowed to have fans in the arena, and I think hopefully at some point this year we will, then there'll be more incentive for fans to actually come, and you'll have to, because you're good rather than being middling.
Yeah.
You'll have better ratings on Comcast Bay Area, which leads to higher advertising rates, which puts more money in the salespeople pocket. I mean, there's so many extensions. It's not just the Warriors spending money for self-glory. The Warrior money in the Warriors actually does get reinvested within the community.
Yeah, no, you're right.
People need to understand that.
Well, I think it's more jealousy than anything. BT,
it definitely is,
and
ignorance, but mostly jealousy.
Yeah, because to what you're saying, to your point, is that the economy moves when people move it, right? It doesn't just move because, right? It's just like you got to incentivize people to spend money. You got to
think of the word stimulus.
That's right. That's what it comes from. And so the basketball world, the NBA world, we know that it's not realistic. It's not reality. We've had this conversation many times over the years, BT, how the NBA player, once they started having, guaranteed $250 million contracts, they just become unrelatable to the general public. Mm-hmm. It's just a different world. I mean, you think about this. You're a sixth man or eighth man on the bench. You've made more money than, some CEOs will make in their careers. Mm-hmm. And so it's a different world. And so you can't look at it in the context of what's happening in the real world.
You've got to judge it differently. And let's face it, too. The Warriors deserve the right to try to protect what was theirs.
Yeah.
And that's the other aspect from a competitive point of view. They deserve the right to try to reclaim. Now, you listened to the show yesterday. I said it's over. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm alone in that belief that they're certainly even if Klay was playing this year, the dynasty was still over.
Oh yeah. There was no walk in the park for them at all.
No.
They're challenged from every angle right now.
That's right. Now, could they win the West with Klay? Yeah, they could. Can they win a championship with Klay? Sure, they could.
Yeah.
Would they have been, odds-on favorites? I don't think that they would have been. They certainly won't be favorites now. I view him more as a 6-7-8 seed, although I do like Oubre a lot more than most. He's a good player. And you get him in that culture. Again, I liked what he did in Phoenix, which was under the radar, because really outside of the 8-0 bubble during the restart, nobody cared about Phoenix, except everybody said, well, why do they have all these good players and they aren't winning? But they really weren't paying attention. I mean, the average fan, Teak, wasn't really paying attention to Kelly Oubre, who was doing some really good things.
Right.
And, they've earned the right to get back in the ring with gloves on, not just with tape on.
Yeah.
But also, BT,
they have one of the great players of this generation in Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last thing you would want to do as an organization, and this is in any line of work, the last thing you're going to do is have one of the best at what they do and then waste that, right?
Great point.
And that's at that stage of his career.
At this stage, right.
It's not like he's 28. He's 32.
32.
Right? And he's not getting younger. He's not getting bigger. You know, he's not getting stronger or less injury prone. So you have one of the great assets in the business that you reside in. And to just say, all right, sorry, Steph, we're gonna waste a year, you know, maybe two, and then we'll try again when you're 34. It doesn't make sense to do that. You gotta try to maximize what you have when you have it. Because at some point, Steph Curry's not going to be, you know, launching 35 footers and knocking them down with ease.
It's true.
Or running around, you know, literally nonstop, because that's what he does when he's off ball. He
so
runs nonstop off ball. He's not going to be able to do that when he's 35 or 36 years old.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to take advantage of it while you can. And I think they're absolutely right to do this. And anyone who's criticizing them, it's because they feel like they can't do it. And they feel and they want their team to, I don't know, have some sort of psychological advantage over the Warriors. The Warriors are doing what they need to do to win.
I'm with you.
I'm completely okay with that.
You know, so am I. We usually associate organizational negligence with wasting the beginning of somebody's career.
Yeah.
Right? Like Carl Anthony Towns.
Mm-hmm.
All right? He's still a young man, and he's very talented.
Yeah.
But it is pretty mystifying, like, boy, they really haven't done anything.
Yeah, and they're okay waiting till he's 27, 28, 29.
That's what we were told yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's the front end of the career. I don't know if it's quite as much as the back end, especially if you've won.
Yeah.
But there is an element of making sure that you aren't negligent on the back end of a superstar's career either, to maximize, to squeeze out whatever prime real estate remains.
Well, at least you got to find out.
To your point, not going to be great for Everton.
Yeah. You at least have to find out.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
One thing we will find out this season is what Steph is made of as an individual, individual star on a good team. They're still going to be good because they're well coached. They should be healthy.
Yeah.
But on a good team, not a great team, what can Steph do? And that's exciting. And I know that's a challenge for him, one that he's probably relishing and taking. And it'll be fun to watch. He might not be successful, but at least we'll know. You know what I mean? And it'll create conversation that I think it will be exciting in the Western Conference this year.
Let's leave it at this here. Do you believe, because this will be an interesting indication of the impact that he had, I don't want to say by himself, but without his running mate, without his fellow Splash brother, do you believe that Klay Thompson, that Steph Curry, jeez, my head's a mess today, that Steph Curry will be in the top five MVP? Do you believe that when it's all said and done after 72 regular season games that he will accrue enough votes to place inside of the top five for the MVP?
No.
I agree with you.
No.
And that's disappointing.
Yeah, I wanted to make a case, but I can't.
I can't either. And based on what I said yesterday, shouldn't that offer some maybe repositioning of is he truly one of the greatest players in the game?
Yeah, but he's also 32, and he won two MVPs.
Well, I understand.
And back-to-back.
I don't know if he deserved the second one.
And three championships. But still, I mean,
like Steve Nash didn't necessarily deserve. Kobe deserved Steve Nash's second.
But regarding Steve Nash. But Steph changed the game, man. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were watching basketball to watch Steph Curry. And that's you can't ever take that away from
him. I'm not trying to. I love him. I love his game. I'm just curious. You know, it's interesting. If you're one of the greatest players in the game, elevate. You're going to have Doncic getting votes. You're going to have AD getting votes. You're going to have Giannis probably winning again three straight. Who knows what Zion does with a full – I mean, I agree. I don't think that he's going to be in there in the top five. Hang on a second. These guys are always bothering me. This is getting out of hand. Who this? Yeah. Now we're straight. We're good. Yep. Okay. Short and sweet. Teak, it's business time. You know what time it is, Teak? What time is it, Teak? It's business time. It's winning time. It's money time. Let's make our picks. A little sharp tyranny coming at you. And then Teak and I will circle all the games that I don't hit during the next segment. We'll do our Week 11 Teaky and Tierney whip around. So get your pens, get your pads. Let's make a little scratch, get you some winners. We'll hit that next right here. Teaky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Bum, bum, bum.
I.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Do you rent your home? Sure you do. Geico makes it easy to bundle renter's insurance and car insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote. Just go to geico.com. All right, welcome back to your Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. our whip around is next, so we'll strap you in for that and bounce you around all the games I don't get to here at Sharp Tierney, but you know what time it is, and hopefully we'll deliver some dubs. We'll get going. Rough week last week in terms of some bad beats, which I can chronicle in a moment, but Teak, let's get into it. I'm expecting a nice week. I was in the lab, you know, for a few extra hours, kind of like, you know, going to the range, kind of groove that swing. We're going to the batting cage, work off the tee. 5-5 is not what we strive for on this segment. That's what I've been the last couple of weeks. But with that in mind, let's start hammering out the wins. Sharp Tierney, let's go.
Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen.
Every show makes picks, but this show actually makes picks that'll put money in your pocket. And we've got nearly 10 years of evidence to back it up. Buckle in and get your wallets ready as BT pops on his shades and becomes Sharp Tierney.
All right, last week was 5-5. For the season here, Teak, still doing pretty well. 52-46, 52-46 ATS all time. 423, 354, and 29 ATS. Now, listen, one thing I don't lament is rough beats too often. It's going to happen. You're going to do 10 games a week. Eventually, you're going to get burned, and you're going to finish a game in an unsatisfying fashion. But last week was particularly distressing. It just flat out pissed me off. I don't know how else to tell you. Boston College was getting 13.5 points. They lose by 14. Half a point loss. The Cardinals, a shoe. Now, that is a word that is not used often enough. A shoe. I like that. The Cardinals eschewed the extra point, right? So they win by 2 after the Hail Mary. What's the spread? 2.5. There's another half point loss. Then Nick Chubb, for some stupid reason, decides to go out of bounds at the 1. You know, I'm laying 4. They're up by 3, whatever the hell. I had a brutal beat there. And then the Lions were up 24-3 against Washington, and they won by 3, which means nothing because the spread was 3.5. Yep, lost by another half a point. So let's mix it up. Here we go, Friday night special. Oh, going to the well, back-to-back weeks. And Tiki knows all these years when I start throwing in the FNS in back-to-back weeks, we usually start pounding them. At one point, I was 9-0. 2 years ago with Friday Night Specials. I like the New Mexico Air Force game tonight. I don't like New Mexico. Let me just spare you the suspense. They're 0-3, the Lobos. They've actually had to pick up and bring their football operation to Las Vegas. I respect the hustle. I respect the effort. But I wonder how focused these young men are. It's tough. Air Force, the Falcons, they're laying 8 points. I know it's not a great Air Force team. It's in Colorado Springs, by the way. But I'm going to go back to the FNS well. Last week we hit it, as I said. That was Cincinnati laying the 26.5 points. They thumped them. Give me Air Force minus 8 to keep the Lobos winless. Air Force, boom. All right. You know, you don't want to just always go for the, well, listen, nothing's guaranteed. So I was going to say the low-hanging fruit. That implies it's easy. It's not. But sometimes you got to dip your toe. You got to show some backbone and say, you know what? I'm going to go with one of the games that America really wants to know about, which means I'm going to touch the Buckeyes here, the Buckeyes and the Hoosiers. Now, Indiana is getting 20.5 points at Ohio State. Hoosiers will play one more game. They're 4-0, Ohio State 3-0. Justin Fields, I think Tiki mentioned the stat before, 11 touchdowns, 11 incompletions. It's crazy. The Hoosiers have not been in this territory since 1967 when they were rated 9th in the country. 67. Not only is Indiana win, Indiana covers the spread. They are 4-0 against the spread and obviously 4-0 on the season. So Michael Penix Jr., not just this season, he's actually won 9 straight games. So Tink, you know how the mind works. You usually nail these every time. Am I taking the points with the Hoosiers, or am I laying the big number and going with the Buckeyes? What is your boy doing? Hit me. What do you got?
You're taking the Buckeyes.
No, I'm not taking the Buckeyes. Damn you. You better not jinx things here. Hey, team.
Well, usually say all it takes is like a turnover.
Coming down in 3, 2, and 1.
You're taking the Hoosiers.
Teak, you know your boy. You know how your boy thinks. Am I taking the points or am I laying the hefty number? What am I doing, Teak?
You're taking the Hoosiers.
That's right. I'm taking the Hoosiers, which means I'm taking the 20 points and the half, and that half might be important. Give me the Hoosiers to hang around. And by the way, I said last week, late in the week, that I thought it would be a 43-20-something game. I said this before the spread came out. That was my conviction on air. I'd be stunned if the Hoosiers win. They are not getting blown out. Give me Indiana. Boom. Tennessee at Auburn. Tigers laying 11 points here. Auburn 4-2. Tennessee 2-4. Tennessee's a mess. They've lost four straight games. They were 2-0, and we were oh, well, here comes, yo, Rocky Top, the Vols. Every game that they've lost, Teak, and you do a lot of college games, you know that this program's in complete disarray. You talk to people. The four losses have been by double figures. I don't like the look of Tennessee. I do like Auburn. The Tigers lay in the 11 spot. I'm going to go from there, and I'm going to trust Auburn to beat up a team that is going really, really quickly in the wrong direction. Auburn, boom. Boom. All right, let's go with, I got to incorporate a college over-under. You know I have to do this. This is how I roll, Teak. Do I prefer, I'm not even sure if I know the answer. Well, I know what I prefer, but do you think that I pick more overs or unders in
always,
this segment?
Always, always over.
That's not true, Teak. You haven't, Teak, I thought you were a
but
good
you
student.
Always got to go over.
Well, but I don't always, I went under one time last week, and I went under in the Stanford, in the USC-Arizona game. I went under and I hit it.
Yes.
But this week I'm going back to what I usually gravitate to.
You asked me what you usually do.
Yeah, just like debating for the sake of debating. Give me the over, under, which is 59 in Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. Fun game. Listen, the Sooners win by an average margin of 17. The Cowboys win by double figures on the average as well. What does that mean? Both teams are kind of used to having their way. Oklahoma, rough start. Much better form last couple of weeks for sure. I'm going to take the over. Fun game, tight game, over 59 for the Sooners and the Cowboys. Boom. Now, let's get to the NFL. Six of these. I've got the Falcons getting five at the Saints. The funny thing is, when I put this in, I usually try to get in sometimes Thursday, although let's face it, last 3 weeks it's been Friday morning. So when I got the picks in Friday morning, I was still under the assumption that Jameis Winston was playing quarterback. And I was still leaning toward the Falcons. I'm like, even though I like Jameis, I like him. I'm like, you know, Falcons have been playing much better. Raheem Morris, they've won three of their last four after that brutal start. Saints are obviously capable, but 5 points is a quirky number inside the division. And then I found out that Taysom Hill is going to play for the Saints, and Tiki's not sure if he plays the whole game. I think he is. Either way, I'm taking the Dirty Birds. I'm taking the 5 points. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Falcons, this might be one of those games where you're watching the red zone or you check, and you're like, whoa, whoa. They're up 13-3. They're up. Like one of those unexpected early scores, early results. I think the Saints probably find a way to win, come back and win, but I think the Falcons score first. Give me the Falcons plus five Atlanta. We go there. Bengals are at Washington. The over-under is 46.5 here. And listen, my philosophy, I try to find a number that is just relatively low. Unless, listen, if it's in the 50s and it's two teams that light it up, I have no problem going there. But you know, when you get something like 43, and you might get that with the Bills or like the Jets or a couple of other teams. If the Bills are playing a bad team, Bills are good. I'm not implying that they're not. This number is kind of right in the wheelhouse of something that I like for the over, provided I like the teams. And I do. I like the teams for the over. Washington, if you watch, Alex Smith has taken some shots downfield. Even though he's kind of a dink and dunker for his career, he's throwing some balls downfield. And the Bengals, you know, Joe Burrow's been great. He scored 10 points against the Pittsburgh Steelers last week. I think that this number is a slight overreaction to how poorly the Bengals looked last week. Understandably, Pittsburgh's great. What I'm saying is this. If the Bengals would have played anybody other than Pittsburgh last week, I think that they would have scored more points, obviously, which means I think instead of 46.5, it may have been 47.5 or 48. Give me the over. Bengals, Washington, over. Boom. All right, this will be short and sweet. The losers, my team. Hey, Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. The Jets are at the Chargers. Now, although when you talk about the Chargers, you got to also incorporate their penchant for losing in maddening ways, but they're not the Jets. They're going to destroy the Jets. This thing started at 8 and went up to 9 quickly. It's already been bet up to 9.5. No commentary needed. Well, I'm not going to waste your time. Every time, I've incorporated the Jets. This will be the fourth time. And I've won every time. Once I bet with them, Kansas City, I laid the 19.5. I think I took the 10 against Buffalo. I won that. I'm going with the Chargers. They're going to eviscerate them. They won't even blow this lead. Trust me. Give it to Chargers. Lay the 9.5 points. Go with them. I've hinted at this a few times during the week. The Steelers playing the Jaguars, minus 10.5. That actually is Rose. That I think, started at 8.5. It's now up to 10.5, not surprisingly. Now, listen. The Steelers, they had played three straight games at one point. They won the Titans game that we referenced before, the Ravens game they won by 4, and then they won by 5 points against Dallas. Last week, I think that's a galvanizer. They just thumped the aforementioned Bengals. They scored 36. They crushed them by 26 points. Listen, this is a good old-fashioned whipping. This is just a beat down. Come out to the woodshed. Take your medicine. Come on, come on. Come on, you know what's coming. We're going to beat you up. Steelers, minus 10.5, remain undefeated. And more importantly, for this segment, they cover the spread. Give me the Steel Dogs, lane 10 and a hook. You want to shade down the half a point? I always recommend it. Whatever. Cowboys and the Vikings. Well, I got a couple of over-unders here. So far, two overs, no unders. Cowboys are in the Vikes, and the Vikes are in Minnesota. This one is 47.5. All right there, Tiki. We have Andy Dalton coming back. Jerry Jones saying Zeke is the best player on the team. Maybe trying to get him some confidence again. Do you think I like the over or the under in the Vikings and the Cowboys game? 47.5.
I'm going to say over.
Attaboy, Tiki. You over. Learned your lesson. You
I
learned
did.
Your lesson, Tiki.
I'm not sold on Zeke anymore, though.
Ooh, but you've learned not to derail the momentum
That's
with Sharp Tierney. So
That's
when I ask
point.
You a question, you have to say the right answer, which That's you right. did. The over-under 47.5. I think this is actually going to be an oddly entertaining game. I think Dallas plays a lot better. I don't know that I'd be stunned if the Cowboys actually found a way to weirdly win this game. Give me the over. That's what I'm marrying myself to here. 47.5 over. Boom. All right, this is going to be an important game. This should be a really good game. The Rams plus 4 at the Tampa Bay Bucks. Now, the Rams, Teek and I were having this discussion the other day. And I said, Teek, who do you think is the in terms of balance, equal parts effectiveness, efficiency on all three sides of the football, in the NFC West, which obviously is tight, who is the best all-around team? Your answer was?
The Rams.
That was my answer as well.
That's right.
Not that the Bucks can't drop some points on you, not that their defense can't stifle you, but I love how the Rams are coached. I love that they've got enough defense. Obviously, Rams, you could take care of one of the great receivers. I'm going to take the Rams. I'm going to take the 4 points. This is a great game. I anticipated great, but I also anticipated a great game with the Saints and the Bucks, and it was 38-3. Give me the Rams plus 4 to maybe even beat. You want to go money line? I don't know. I don't have it in front of me. It's probably a $1.70 or so. Investigate that if you're feeling where I'm going with the Rams plus 4. I'm not going to touch money line here, but I will take the Rams with the 4 points. So, in summation, Mr. Barber, give me Air Force tonight. If you like it, get it in. The Falcons lane 8 to beat New Mexico. I'm going to take the Hoosiers. Hoosier up, baby. Getting 20 in a hook at Ohio State. They will cover that game. Give me Auburn to wax Tennessee, hapless Tennessee. The Tigers lane 11. I'll take the over in the Oklahoma State-Oklahoma game. That number is 59. Should be a lot of fun. I think it's a tight game. I love the over. Falcons plus 5 over the Saints. Bengals, Washington over 46.5. Take the Chargers to just dismantle the pathetic Jets. They'll cover easily. 9.5 the number there. Steelers minus 10.5 there against the Jaguars. Easily remain undefeated. They plow through them. This thing, I'm sensing 33-10. You know, maybe they take the gas off 27-6. I just think the Steelers destroy them. I'll take the Cowboys. You know what? I'm going to give the Jags a little more points. Their quarterback's interesting. They're going to score more than 6 points. Steelers will cover, though. Give me the over in the Cowboys and the Vikings, and I'll take the Rams to handle biz and cover the 4 points against the Tampa Bay Bucks. So, there we are. Week 11. Sharp Tierney. How do you think there? What do you think, Teek?
No,
you liking?
Dude,
you feel good?
I think you're on point, man. I think you have I think you have your thinking is right. Sometimes your thinking gets askewed when you try to be risky.
Do you think that I take unnecessary risks?
No, not at all. Not at all. I think you just make some assumptions sometimes.
It's kind of what you have to do when you try to forecast a game.
True, but this week feels right. Indiana, I love, actually.
You do? You're with me on the Hoosiers?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Good. There you go. So you get the extra stamp from Tiki. That means if you're going to throw down 100, throw down 30,000 instead. It definitely does not mean that. Trust me. Be careful. Be smart. Be sensible. Have a little fun. Hopefully we got you some wins like we usually do. CeeLo's update. We'll come back. We'll spin you around. Week 11. Tiki and Tierney whip around after CeeLo, who's coming at you right now. Here's Chris. Tiki and Tierney back. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Get ready to blast you into the weekend. Hope everybody has enjoyed the show. If you missed anything this week, I would certainly recommend you go and check out our conversation with Kyler Murray. It was great. Talked in length in depth about baseball, how much he misses it. Just go to youtube.com/Tiki and Tierney. Give it a shot. Subscribe, obviously. Click the bell. Something fresh drops, which is pretty much every day. You'll get the alert, obviously. Radio.com, Apple iTunes, many ways to get the different podcasts. But that's definitely one you're going to want to go back and hear what Kyler Murray had to say. All right, Teek, we do it every Friday to wrap up the week after Sharp Tierney leaves the front door. We are able to really just strap in and kind of have a nice dance around the rest of the games around the NFL. We call it our whip around. You ready to roll?
Yep, let's do it.
All right.
The Philadelphia Eagles, the Cleveland Browns.
Well, Myles Garrett's not playing, so that's an interesting starting point. He is out in the COVID protocol. The Eagles, I think we know who they are at this point. Talk to us, Teak. What are you expecting here?
Yeah, the Eagles aren't very good right now. And look, last week they played the New York Giants, and the Giants had won two games at that point. The Giants were the better team and beat them. But the Cleveland Browns are really the one to focus on. They're still in position to compete for a playoff spot, BT. But Myles Garrett's leading the league in sacks, and one of the reasons that they're able to play and win a lot of their games is not because their offense is lighting it up. It's because their defense is opportunistic. They turn the football over and put their offense in much better position. So this is an important one for this Cleveland defense without their best defensive player.
Yeah, for those who missed it, Doug Peterson, head coach of the Eagles, earlier this week said, hey, we would absolutely still make the trade that we made for Carson Wentz. And Kevin Stefanski, listen, showing some respect here. I'm not sure if he fully believes this, although he probably does. He says you got to still worry about Wentz. He is still dangerous.
It's not hard to see what he's capable of. This year, he's making plays. You go back previous year, he's making plays. He's a unique talent in his size and his ability to move. He presents a very, very real challenge for our defense.
All right, so let's see how the Browns handle a little prosperity. Obviously, right there for the wild card. Should be an interesting game.
The Detroit Lions, the Carolina Panthers.
Well, listen, the Panthers offense, and this frightens Matt Patricia. He knows that the Panthers, when they are clicking offensively, they can make you look downright foolish. Here's the head coach of the Detroit Lions.
One of the most explosive offensive, skill set group in the league. You know, I think they're top five as far as explosive plays. DJ Moore is, he's fast. He can go vertical. He can really get behind the coverage. And Robbie Anderson, we certainly know he can do that too. You know, speed is the first thing that stands out.
All right. So the Lions, by the way, they won last week, but they got that long bomb from Prater after they coughed up the 24-3 lead. What are you expecting here, Detroit and Carolina?
Yeah, well, the interesting thing will be whether or not Christian McCaffrey is playing. He had a shoulder injury. I think he's out this weekend, but it doesn't take away from, I think, some of the explosiveness that Coach Patricia was talking about. From the Lions, one of the reasons that they've started to play better is DeAndre Swift, their rookie running back, has been really effective for them, and it's taken a lot of reps out of Adrian Peterson's hands. Now, DeAndre Swift, and nobody knows kind of where this happened, is in the concussion protocol right now, and so he might not be in line to play.
He's not playing.
And so it looks like it's back to the old head. Adrian Peterson's got to try to get it done. Mm-hmm. This will be an interesting game because both of these teams have the Panthers have a lot less at stake than the Lions do, obviously, because Patricia's on the hot seat.
Yep.
But the Panthers, they're fighting for culture. They're fighting for for the future, and each game adds to that for them.
Well said. Let's get back to a game we hit before, Teak.
The Tennessee Titans, the Baltimore Ravens.
All right, so Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill, last couple of games, both below 200 yards. We know about the Ravens, the well-chronicled regression in terms of the passing game for Lamar Jackson. This should be a lot of fun, and Mike Vrabel knows, head coach of Tennessee, that the rushing attack for the Ravens, it is just nonstop, keeps coming at you.
Huge challenge to stop the running game. And those guys are downhill runners, good vision. They've all taken care of the football. So that it's going to be a challenge for us to not only stop them, but the quarterback and anybody else they may hand it to.
What are you most looking forward to here, Teak?
This is going to be a running back's dream. This should be the shortest game in the history of the National Football League.
Wow.
Turn around, hand it off to Derrick Henry. Turn around, hand it off to Gus Edwards or J.K. Dobbins or let Lamar Jackson run with the football. Neither one of these teams are proficient throwing the football as of late. So I think that whoever runs the ball best, whoever's offensive line is the most aggressive, I think has the edge in this one.
All right.
The New England Patriots, the Houston Texans.
The Patriots going to mess around and start getting serious about maybe trying to squeeze that final wild card spot here, Teak?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, last week was a decision-making game for them. Are they shutting it down and starting to play, playing the kids, just to see what they're worth, or you're still trying to compete? And they had a big win last week.
You knew the answer to that.
Of course. I mean, I didn't, but it was reality, though. If they lose that game, then the season's over for them.
I still think they would have tried to win, though.
Yeah, I agree, but you probably would have seen, Jared Stidham, and if Cam played poorly. But Cam's also trying to fight for his next job, wherever that may be. Mm-hmm. Likely not in New England again, but who knows? So, yeah, this game is big for the Pats. The Texans are cooked in a sense, but the Pats are what make this one interesting.
All sorts of issues for the Texans. And, by the way, they gave up that premium draft spot. That's why the Dolphins are going to get a top 10 pick this year. So it's not just cooked on the field. They're also kind of cooked on the draft board. Bill Belichick knows. Listen, when he lavishes praise on a quarterback, you know it's legit. And he was dishing on Deshaun. Here's Double B.
Watson's as good as anybody we face. He does a good job at everything. You know, he can make all the throws. He's very, very good with his decisiveness. Makes good reads. That makes him, you know, hard to defend. And they don't have many bad plays that ever hurt their teams. Really, really the kind of guy you want playing that position.
There you go. Don't look now, but here comes the Dolphins.
The Miami Dolphins, the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, listen, you and I spent a lot of time on this this week here. The decision to go with Tua Tagovailoa when Brian Flores decided to do it. It was a little risky, but it has paid off. They have not lost since Tua got the rock. Dolphins at the Broncos, what are you seeing here? Drew Lock's been playing poorly, too.
Yeah, he has been playing poorly. I think he's a little banged up as well. But the Miami defense has just been the best part of this. This maturation for Tua Tagovailoa, because he doesn't have to press. Now, if Tua was forced into a position where he had to press, I have no doubt that he would be successful. That's just a belief you have in Tua after watching him in college and his first, you know, three starts here in the NFL. Even the first one was bad. He still won the game and made the play that he had to. This is exciting for Miami because they're relevant. They are a game out of first place in the AFC East. They're likely going to make the postseason, and it feels like they have a future, which is the first time you can say it in a long time.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of their future and their present, Tua, as usual, nice and cool, and he's got a great perspective. Here he is.
For us as a team, our goal is just to, you know, take it a game at a time, and I think we've all been very fortunate to have won five in a row, you know, and we hope to continue to do the same thing throughout this week.
All right, keep it moving.
The Green Bay Packers, the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, let's face it, Phillip Rivers has had some good games, and then he's had some Phillip Rivers games, at least the last couple of years. I'm not trying to diss a future Hall of Famer, but
you do
see some really unsteady, uneven, uninspiring performances at the quarterback spot, which for the most part is the complete antithesis of what the Packers trot out there. Here's Indy's head coach Frank Reich on the great Aaron Rodgers.
Can make every throw from every arm angle, and he gets it out faster than anybody I've ever seen. He can give that little flick to the wrist and get that thing out. His feet don't have to be right. He can still, because of his arm strength, he can put the ball anywhere he wants.
You know, Tink, the Colts are actually favored by a point or so here.
Yeah.
You surprised by that?
It's a home, so yeah, a little bit. Naheem Hines has got to have the game of his life, I think, in this game, because Phillip Rivers is good when he's not trying to do too much, when he's not trying to be a hero. That's past him in his NFL career, but he's not necessarily done, so to speak. And in the Green Bay Packers, Devontae Adams is clear. They look like they're getting healthy at the right time. Bakhtiari just got paid, so
yep.
You know, he's excited. The Packers need to win this game on the road to solidify where they are in our minds as one of the elite teams in the NFC.
Just got paid. Mm-hmm. It's Friday night.
Mm-hmm. He's buying dinner for everybody.
He better, man. He better. Packers, for you right now, tier one or tier two?
They're two.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
The Kansas City Chiefs, the Oakland Raiders.
All right. You know, Kansas City's going to be locked in because the last time these two teams met, the Raiders not only won, they took a victory lap around Arrowhead. This one is going to be in Las Vegas. Andy Reid says, we're coming off the bye. We need to be laser locked in. Here's Kansas City's head coach.
This is a good football team that we're preparing for them. We got to go through the same process as if it wasn't a bye. You got to go through and make sure you study and get to know them and make sure you can correlate the scheme that you have with what their scheme is work it.
Listen, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. We know that. But, you know, I was saying it this week. The Raiders, they've got some issues with COVID protocol. They could be down as many as six or seven people, actually. But I still don't know if the entire NFL universe looks at that Raiders offense the way they should. That is a good offense.
Yeah, it is a good offense. And, look, it's not overly explosive. Derek Carr has been, you know, pushing the ball downfield a lot more than he has in previous years, and it's because of, you know, who's surrounding him right now. You know, Nelson Aguilar has actually been a great find for them. We counted him out when he left Philadelphia, but Henry Ruggs is also there, and you know, Darren Waller is one of the best tight ends in football. So he's got some weapons he can get through and get the ball to. But more importantly, Josh Jacobs is just the man. Mm-hmm. When he's healthy, and he's finally fully healthy, you think, this week, he's a force to deal with. So, look, I like Kansas City a lot in this game, mainly because of the emotional billboard material that I'm sure sitting up there after the victory lap when they played earlier this year. But you can't discount how good Oakland has been and where John Gruden has got this team to.
Yep, I'm with you. There it is, our Week 11 Tiki and Tierney whip around right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Listen, that's kind of a Bush move to do a victory lap in the bus. Mm-hmm. I love the enthusiasm, so I want to be sure I'm not too critical.
Yeah.
I do love that, almost like that collegiate, you know, spirit. But that's, for the NFL, that's kind of Bush.
Yeah.
That's kind of Bush.
It's corny. It's stupid.
Corny,
it's like,
Bush.
What's the point? I mean, they do that because at the old, what was it, Oakland Coliseum.
Yep.
You know, Gruden,
the O.co.
Yep, yeah, it was. It wasn't a Coliseum. It was O.co. He'd run around like
there's
after
a lot of things.
He would run around the stadium, John Gruden, and so he wanted to replicate that in some way. But it doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, you're on the road. I don't get it.
I don't know.
It's not like, your fans. There's no fans there.
To me, the symbolism is it's like knocking somebody out in the middle of the ring and circling him and taunting him. Like that's how I took it.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we just came to your crib. We won. We're going to take a little lap, and then we're going to go.
Yeah, you don't see
we'll see you soon.
You don't see a lot of that in the NFL.
I don't think you've ever seen that, you know?
No.
So,
Maybe you haven't heard about it.
That's really what I meant. What do you have going on this week? You're not traveling for college football, are you?
Doing nothing. Next game, last game I'll do is the Iron Bowl.
The Iron Bowl.
Next weekend. So
okay. All right.
Doing nothing this weekend.
So the Christmas trees are up, so you don't have... By the way, do you actually help with the trees, or Tracy?
Like, no,
I have
zero license to help with the trees.
But what about the big ones?
Zero license to help.
Really?
I will mess it up. That's the point.
Now, you're missing
what I'm saying. I'm not allowed. I don't have license.
You're not allowed. I would think that at least, hey, honey, go get the 11-foot tree that's in the attic or in the garage.
Like, well, I mean, I pull it up from the basement,
of
course.
Oh, that's what I'm asking. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I pull it up, but like as far as setting up, putting the lights on, I don't touch a thing because I'll mess it up.
Yeah, I love doing that.
But Tracy's specific. Like she's a perfectionist that.
I mean, I like to think our tree looks pretty good too. I have no time for lights, man. I mean, the lights. You're talking about taking a lap around the stadium.
Yeah.
I take a few laps around the block when the lights are going on. To me, it's just too. I don't have patience for lights. But in terms of like actually hanging the ornaments, we do it kind of like where, you know, we take turns. We've got all the ornaments from over the years, and I'll put one on. Jen will put one on. The kids will put one on.
Nice.
Of course, Daddy's got to put the star on. Enjoy the games, Teak. Enjoy a little downtime. Have some fun this weekend. I'll see you on Monday, bud.
You too, brother.
Thank you very much.
Be safe.
Yes, no doubt. Everybody enjoy it. Get our picks. Get my picks sharp, Tierney. Santa will put them up on our Twitter account, at Teak and Tierney. Have an outstanding weekend. Truly enjoy it. Safe, sensible, and sane. We'll catch you soon. Be well. Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.